Hello. Could Vermont be the next recreational legal state? Colorado residents try to sue because the cannabis businesses are blocking their view. And we might talk about a little bit of butt hash. We are the Canna Linguists. I'm April O'Connor. I'm here with Alex Mandelberg.
And hello.
We got Melanie Baldonado in the studio.
Melanie Baldonado.
Hey, so excited to be here.
And her little partner in crime, Lindsay. Hello.
Hi.
What's going on, Lindsay? How you guys doing? How are you guys doing today?
Excellent.
Doing excellent.
You know, a nice Friday in California.
Good.
It is. It
I
is,
know, right?
It's kind of nice. It is very nice that when you look at the time of year, you go, oh, it's like 75 degrees outside.
California winters where you could use your space heater and wear shorts all in the same week.
So first thing up on the docket, Vermont could be the... So Vermont, really, they're going for the vote next, huh?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, it's weird these Midwestern states that kind of go back and forth. Because I remember Montana... they had marijuana and people growing for the state, and then they had a reversal on the decision. Then they didn't have marijuana anymore, but they left a loophole open to where if you were in seed production, you could still be in seed production. Now, a byproduct of creating marijuana seeds, I don't know if you know this, is marijuana.
Yeah.
So
you can grow the marijuana, but just to yield the seeds.
You can grow the marijuana, but just to yield the seeds, and then they just have all this excess marijuana, and they're like, oh, well, what am I supposed to do? I guess I could smoke it, because I got to get rid of it somehow. And so I literally met people who I'm like, oh, my God, I heard that Montana – people who I knew who lived in Montana, I'm like, oh my God, I heard that they changed it, that they're getting rid of your farms. And they're like, no, we're just telling them we're in the seed business now. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that makes perfect sense. And so now you got a state like Vermont. And I wonder, now that we have states going recreational instead of medical.
Yeah. Which, you know, then
well, do you feel like it lends itself to less flip-flopping like what happened in Montana? If you're saying recreational.
Recreational is going to give up our rights, you know, just like you can still, you know, you can still have a microbrew or make your own wine, but you can't have a still. So I feel like there's going to be some,
I get what you're saying.
Like they might not let you make concentrates, but you might be able to have your own little garden or something.
I get what you're saying. Now you say yes though.
I'm a total fan of recreational. I just think, We're adults, and come on, this is like one of the few things that actually causes like bodily harm.
Oh, yeah.
We're adults, and I do understand that there are some conditions where, yes, it is medically applied, but why can't I go home and have a cigarette and a glass of wine, but for me to go home and have a marijuana joint and a glass of wine, I have to have a medical condition, which, by the way, I do. First time I can thank God for ADD and lack of sleep, but... That being said, I just think if we're going to call ourselves the land of the free, let's just be
it. Yeah, no, there's certainly that argument for the recreational side of it. You know, it's that weird thing that I was talking about beforehand where I said, you know, if we treat it like medication, any other medication would be regulated by the FDA. But the problem is federally it's still recognized as Schedule I, so the FDA can't get involved with it. So there is, at the medical level, actually less restrictions than at the recreational level. At the state level, the state's actually imposing more restrictions than in the medical community because the FDA, well, they can't do jack diddly squat diddle.
Right.
How does this work?
And I was actually reading something about, you know, Colorado. They're kind of giving Colorado the medical people shit because the recreational is so like watched and so regulated. And medical is still kind of somewhere below.
Yeah, medical is still they're not
being accountable for how much they're producing and all that. That's the problem with California too. It's just so drastically unregulated.
Now you say you have your card. How long have you had your card?
I actually did not renew. However, I got my card in probably, if we're in 2014, I probably got in 2000 or in 15, 11, I'm guessing.
Okay, so you got it a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you said that you played rugby. Did you ever smoke while you were playing rugby?
When, in the off season, definitely. No, I never smoked.
Never during the game.
No, I didn't drink and I didn't really smoke whenever I was in school at all. But as soon as vacation hit, it was over. And I was usually, thank goodness, my team should say thank you for their lives because I was usually the designated driver.
Ah.
And after rugby games, there is an after party, which you know very well,
drink
where
up.
The team, yeah, the hosting
team. The home
team
has to host the away team. For drinks and that you sing songs.
That's awesome.
And there's general
dirty
debauchery.
Songs.
Dirty, filthy
songs.
And here's the thing. As filthy as our songs are, the females sing way filthier songs than
goodness.
The dudes sing. And women will Zulu as well. And if you had a rookie who scored their first try of their entire life, that person has to strip down naked in the bar or at the field.
She's shaking her head
I had to do mine.
Did you do that?
I did mine on the field.
I did mine on the field too. I did mine on the
hole. And this is the thing. The real ones, you have to run around the whole entire field, the circumference of the field. Some teams are pansies, and they're like, no, you only have to run through the end zone, which is like the try zone, which is not the same as having to give everybody a 360-degree view of you.
Mine was I scored my very first try at a tournament.
Oh.
There were 8 fields there. And it was a breakaway, like 80 meters. And the worst thing was I'm running. And I hear people screaming behind me and I'm thinking there's someone's on my tail. And finally I hear it clearly going, no one's near you. And I turn around and no one's been chasing me. I've just been running as fast as I can because I was an idiot. And I get there and I'm exhausted. I put the try down and we were playing against a team who I played against a couple times.
That's a touchdown, I'm assuming.
Yeah, the touchdown, a try, as we call it.
Explain what it is.
When you cross the line of the end zone in rugby, that's not a score.
Okay.
You have to actually put you have to put downward force on the ball to the ground.
Which is, by the way, where the term in football,
touchdown
comes from. Because football is actually derived from rugby and soccer.
They used to have to do that, too. They also used to have to do the same rugby thing where you'd have to kick the extra point from wherever the ball was touched down, like we do. You actually go to that spot, go out 20 meters, and that's where you kick from. I run all of this, and I have to do my Zulu. And basically what I did was I gave my coach my compression shorts, and I'm like, would you wait for me on the other side of the field, and I'll run to you? And he decided – I had to tackle him after the 6th field that he'd run across while waving my shorts over his head at a public park in San Diego. Well, the announcer of the loudspeaker went, we can't condone that, but good on you, bro. Good on you. And my Zulu was done over 6 fields, I think I crossed. And then I tackled ass naked, tackled my coach, and wrestled my shorts away from him.
Well,
everyone chased after me going, hey, Zulu warrior.
Yeah, that's a song.
Hey, Zulu warrior.
It's a rite of passage.
It is. You're not a true rugby player until you have Zulu'd.
This is fucking fascinating.
And then they make you shoot the boot, which is where they fill up the biggest, nastiest, muddiest cleat that they can with beer.
Yeah.
And you got to drink out of it. You got to finish it all in one chug.
That is so – it's the tradition.
And the worst thing – here's the thing. I thought that was bad. We had a kid on our team who was under 21. They filled his first boot with milk.
Oh, gross.
You thought beer out of a muddy, sweaty shoe was bad? Imagine milk.
Imagine
it is just
seeing the dirt swirl on top of that.
Yeah. It's not good.
Okay, guys.
Rugby players are disgusting, filthy, gentlemanly, kind-hearted human beings. It's very weird. It's a hooligan sport played by gentlemen and gentlewomen.
Even the girls. We are forgetting one detail. To say, we were completely naked except for the rugby socks and the cleats. So you're running in socks and cleats with nothing above. It's like, that's a crucial point.
That is true.
Now, you got butt ass naked too.
Only 3 girls on my team were like brave enough to do that. The other ones were like, we're just going to take off our sports bra, which it's like, yeah, but here's the deal. You're either a rugby player or you're not. And thank goodness I'm a rugby player.
Yeah, you know what? I had some guys on my team who chickened out of it, and you know what? I was proud to take my Zulu run. I was proud to shoot my first boot. It's a weird thing. It's a weird what's the word I'm looking community. You know, that's the thing. You hear that
it's
someone
like
else
some
played
frat,
rugby.
It's like some frat shit.
Yeah. You hear that someone else played rugby and you're like, oh my gosh, what position did you play? I was a scrum half. You were a flanker. You start talking all everything. You start talking
drink
ups.
I watched this happen. I was like, this is going to be good.
Oh my God. I'm just curious. What was your favorite song?
From the guy side or the girl song side?
Hey, give me a guy's one because I didn't know too many of the girls' ones. Did you guys ever do S&M Man?
No, we did. The guy, my favorite guy's song, and this is so weird because I actually love this human being, but I thought this was such an ironic person to pick for this song. It opens with, "My eyes have seen the glory of me coming on her face. My eyes have seen the glory of me coming on her face. My eyes have seen the glory of me coming on her face. The truth is marching on." Here it goes. Ready? I'm in love with Nancy Reagan. I'm in love with Nancy Reagan. I'm in love with Nancy Reagan. My dick is getting hard.
Oh, God. You just brought me right back home to when I was playing. Yeah, no, my favorite was...
Yep, that was my favorite on the guy side.
Yeah, that one was a good one. I loved S&M Man. That one always gave me
how
a
did
good...
How
now you have
the S&M Man was done to the tune of the Candyman. The S&M Man, the S&M Man, the S&M Man, because he mixes it with love and makes the hurtin' feel good, the hurtin' feel good. And then everyone would have different verses. I think the first one that I learned was who could take a glass rod? Who could take a glass rod? Stick it up your dick. Stick it up your dick. Lay it on the table and smash it with a brick. Oh. The S&M Man, the S&M. And then everyone sings along. And then, you know, you put your glass up on your head and you say you want to do another verse. And the song goes to you. What were some of the other ones that I can remember? Who could go to an abortion clinic, sneak around the back, dig through the dumpster and find a tasty snack? The S&M Man, are terrible. They're just awful. These are the worst things that you'll ever hear in your life is what rugby players sing.
You are in a room full of girls and we are all like,
I'm so sorry about this. I'm not proud of what I'm saying right now. I'm just
guessing that the S&M Man was reserved for when it was all guys at your party.
A lot of times
it's a combined party if you have, like, let's say two home matches.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, the guys and the girls all show up and, like, it's hosting different teams and their songs, because I heard the guys sing, that I guess my version of Nancy Reagan is the one of the cleaner ones for the guys.
No. That's the full version of Nancy Reagan.
Right. But
version.
Compared to abortion taking a snack, okay, I think that my version's pretty clean.
What about, did you ever hear I Used to Work in Chicago? Because that one can get kind of dirty.
Yeah.
Okay,
no,
that
one
can together, definitely guys. Get, that I want to hear this.
You started.
I used to work
it.
In Chicago at the old department store. I used to work in Chicago. I don't work there anymore. A woman came in for a ship in a bottle. A ship in a bottle from the store. A ship in a bottle she wanted. The pirate eyes she got.
That's right.
I don't work there anymore. I used to work in Chicago. What was some of the other ones?
I like how you're just speeding through this and I sing like the whole thing.
Yeah, you sing it. I'm not...
I even had him throw on some effects.
I'm very scared to start singing on this show. I don't want to scare our listening audience away.
I'm trying to think. I know that they're... There was one called Tampax Factory, and there was another one called, we had a girl who was from Wales, England, and so her song, one of my favorites, was when she'd be like, "My husband's a banker, a banker, a banker, a very fine banker is he. All day long he fingers notes, he fingers notes, he fingers notes, and when he comes home... he fingers me." Is that the combined one? Maybe it is. No, that's not.
Oh, gosh.
What's
yeah,
the
no, that's.
To that one?
I can't. No, that one, I.
Hang on, I know it. Wait. It's
going to
go back.
I've heard that one before. I wish I knew that one. You have to understand, it was as important to win as we called it, the third half. The drink up, whatever you wanted to call it. We were fond of calling it the third half. For a lot of teams, it's as important to win the third half as it is to win the game. To be the team that is the most fucking party awesome team. To be able to go in and be like, we're going to play you hard on the field, and then we're going to come in, we're going to beat you in a boat race, we're going to out-sing you, we're going to make sure that we're the last ones to leave the fucking bar, and... We were always thankfully, they started imposing designated drivers because I have known some players who've driven home drunker than they should have, but that's why we live and we learn, and thank God for Uber now. And, I've definitely Ubered to some rugby games.
Totally. it's definitely about who throws the best party. My team also had these just regulation boxing gloves. And when you were a rookie, like, the rookies had to box each other, whether it was at the bar or whether it was in the backyard. Yeah, and it was like...
Did you guys ever do the rookie lift at the end of the year?
No, what's the rookie lift?
Oh, gosh. Okay, I'm breaking major rugby code.
Oh, wait, don't do it. I think I know what you're talking about, and don't do it, because isn't it similar to what fraternities do to initiate you in?
It's basically a big trick where you make the rookies think you tell the rookies that the veterans are going to perform a feat of strength by lifting all the rookies up over their heads. They're going to get lay on the ground and interlock their arms, and then you spill massive amounts of beer on them. And you count, two, three, and then everyone dumps a pitcher of beer on the rookies as they're laying on the ground.
That's like a little scene from Dazed and Confused when they made those girls lay down.
Yeah. All right, you little freshman bitches.
Parker Posey.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's a weird fraternity. It definitely is. Okay, we really do need to move on. We got to get back on. Marijuana.
Oh, I mean, that was that.
That was a fun tangent. It was. I'm glad that we could educate you at least a little bit on.
Oh my goodness.
On
rugby's being sick.
Yeah, rugby is.
It's way more than just playing the game. It's like a whole tradition.
It's a culture.
Yeah. It. That's a perfect way of saying it. It's a culture. It's kind of the guys who you play with. It's a tough game. It's not. Here's the thing. In football, the hits are bigger, but in rugby, the hits are much more compounded, and you're getting knocked around every play, and everyone's throwing their body around there.
Right.
And at the end
no
of it,
helmets,
and
right?
That's what I was no the fact that there's no padding and there's nothing between you and the other person. You're just hitting them with your body. There's kind of this level of respect where it's like, you know, why we don't have as many concussions and head injuries as the NFL does statistically, an amazing amount less, is because we don't go for people's heads because it's a terrible place to tackle someone, and all I'm going to do is hurt them. And I love playing this game, and I know this person loves playing this game, and there's nothing between us but skin. So I'm going to hit them as safe as I can hit them. Right. And I've only ever, because now that I've had to retire from playing and I've gotten into reffing a little bit, I've only ever been in one game that I saw one hit where someone was attempting to injure someone. Right. I red carded him. He was out of the game. And his own teammate walked up to me and said, thank you for red carding him. Because even your own teammates will always admit, if you go for a dirty hit, it's wrong. It doesn't belong in the game. And
you red carded your own teammate? Is that what you said?
His teammate, I was reffing. His teammate walked up to me and thanked me for red carding his teammate.
Oh, okay.
Because they were not happy about that kind of play being on the field, as you shouldn't be.
That's good.
You know, that's kind of the whole key to it.
You have good sportsmanship. Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's
part of it.
It really is. It's kind of it is a sport of good sportsmanship. Everyone cheats. Don't get me wrong. Everyone cheats in the game. I cheated insistently. I was a terrible cheater, but I never, ever, ever did anything mean. I stepped on someone a couple times. I was a scrum half.
You
I kind of had
on
to
the
step.
Hand, didn't
I was
you?
A I was
yeah.
a scrum half. I have to clear the ball, so no one understands what I'm saying right now. My job is to get the ball out of confusion and chaos, and sometimes that involves stepping on people's hands.
Ew.
You know, maybe okay. We'll move on from that one. So, Colorado residents suing the state. What the heck is going on there, April? Can you read us that news story as we close in on the 20-minute mark? And I'm about to take a big rip of this pipe.
Or 20. Well, it's just saying that a couple people are pissed that their, you know, their land and their view is now marijuana farms.
Tough shit.
Yeah.
Aren't they green? I mean, what difference does it make? It's like, hi, what a nice green hill I'm looking at year round, except for when it snows.
I mean, they're trying to throw the RICO Act, which is like racketeering, like, you know, saying that it's like organized crime and all sorts of
things. This reminds me of just those sensationalist lawsuits, like those Gloria Allred kind of.
Oh, God. Somebody lost like her.
Oh, God. It's like grasping at straws kind of.
Yeah, it's that. Story. Like I told you about the guy who sued the federal government trying to outlaw all marriage because he said marriage is a religious institution and we're not. Separation of church and state was what he was citing. And there was there was another one I mentioned before that I completely forget. But people do this shit all the effing time.
The one suing Bill Belichick for
his season tickets. Yeah, a guy sued Bill Belichick when he got convicted of Spygate. A guy tried to get all of his season ticket money back from Bill Belichick, stating that he broke the contract on the back of his ticket to watch a fair contest. Which I'm like, I get what you're saying, but yeah.
I think the other person suing has to do with a hotel, and that it's a Holiday Inn saying that all these, like, you know, soccer and ski teams and whatever, the parents won't book there anymore because a big, like, huge 75 yards away, a big, huge recreational marijuana shop is going to be opening.
Oh, tough shit. Yeah. Oh, tough shit. So, like, you will attract a different clientele.
Thank you.
That's my thing. Is like, if here's the thing:
the Holiday Inn is going to become the green.
If you're not willing to change with the market, that's your problem. That is not our problem. That the market has made a shift, and you went, yeah, but I liked it the old way. Well, tough shit. It's not the old way anymore. Things change.
Yeah, and things are changing because we've got Forbes saying legal cannabis is 2015's best startup opportunity. Huffington Post saying legal canna is the fastest growing industry in the U.S. right now. This is like
smart.
These are two huge like things going on right
now.
Yeah,
no. Forbes is old white people money. So yeah. that's important when they say something like that. That's what guys named Walt read Forbes. Like yeah. that's some serious shit right there.
Yeah, we've got some.
So, a guy named Thurston reads that fucking magazine. Jeez.
These are people that are just looking for ways of trying. It's the same thing when you have maybe say you have a farm and then somebody wants to put, you know, up something, you know, big and.
But if it's not federal land and it's not state land, if it's someone else's land, you don't get like, I'm sorry, it ruined your view. They chose to do something with land that belonged to them.
So true.
If you want to claim this is America, then this is. This is America. You have the right to do with your land.
Then you buy that land,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you buy that land, and you cannot grow weed on it. Mm-hmm. Congratulate or face your window towards your property that you don't grow weed on. You know, you don't have to have a window on every side of your house. Have one that faces the weed farm. You know, close your blinds if you're that upset.
What amuses me?
Go ahead.
What amuses me about the hotel is that. Why would you want people who cannot hit your overpriced minibar? Like, when you know, when you have, like, the soccer players, oh, the little high schoolers aren't coming. Screw them, dude. Get me some adults in there that are going to get some party on and order some room service. That's,
you're
like,
damn right.
Get me the money spenders, not the ones who are like, I don't know how to do this.
They would totally pay $4 for a bag of M&M's at midnight.
Totally.
As Forbes is saying, it's like marijuana is a budding business. There's money to be made. There's companies that have been popped up that do tours of Colorado. Like you can just book a weed tour. You fly to Colorado. They take you to a couple different shops. You smoke. They set you up with a hotel to stay at. They set you up with a nice dinner. It's a whole weed tour.
This is creating jobs and, you know, generating income for everyone, you know?
Everybody.
You know, like even...
You sound like Pauly Shore making the speech for Purple Sticky Punch and Biodome. The benefits of Purple Sticky Punch.
Even in Vegas, if you think about it, they're worried about maybe they'll lose alcohol sales. So all the people that own hotels are the ones that are buying
Yeah,
the
no, that's...
Too,
right. I was telling you before, yeah, that the casino and hotel... Here's the thing. To something that you'll probably hate are actually really almost monopolizing the marijuana market, or are trying to, that's trying to go into Nevada. Nevada has claimed they're going to be an amnesty state. They're saying that if you have a medical recreation from any state, come to Nevada, we will honor it.
We will serve you,
which is really cool. But that's the thing, is that these are going to be what you hate, corporately owned pot shops. You don't like those, April. You've told me many times.
I just think that the more you think that you're gaining rights, the more rights you're giving up.
Well, I'm just saying, that's what it's going. That's what it's going to be, though. Nevada, if you're buying you can bring it in, but if you're buying it there, you're probably going to be buying it from a casino.
Oh, yeah.
I understand what April is saying, and believe me, I'm one of those who believes that as soon as it's commercialized to the point where your marijuana is going to have like Starbucks, you know, there's going to be Starbucks coffee bean, it's still, you know, we're still going to love the mom and pops the same way that we love mom and pop restaurants.
Right.
So wherever your local place is, it's like, all right, when you're touring, you can like go and grab a bud that, you know, is like kind of solid,
that's the argument that I made. I said that there's a lot of people who can only afford Budweiser and Marlboro. And those people would probably love a high manufacture corporate marijuana.
Right.
Because that's all that they could really afford and probably all that they can handle. I wouldn't want to try and give someone an Arkansas. I wouldn't try and give someone in Arkansas the Phyllis Diller that I smoke all the time. He would probably lose his fucking mind. He would go crazy.
Yes.
Well, that's one of the arguments that people have against marijuana as of now. They're like, you guys, it's not the same stuff that we used to smoke. Don't think that you can smoke a couple of hits of this and be completely groovy like you used to be, because it's not like that. It is a different strain. But all that being said, that could stand for anything.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I go a little bit back and forth, but I do still say that I do kind of in some ways appreciate what big business brings to things, because it will advance things. They do advance things faster because they have money to throw at it. That's what I said. The big problem that I brought up to Dr. Brandy Cross, I said, here's my only issue with small labs, is that if you make a breakthrough, your small lab does not have the ability to transfer your breakthrough throughout the market as fast as a corporation would be able to.
Right.
If you were to take that breakthrough and give it to a corporation, they would be able to take advantage of that breakthrough a lot faster than you could.
Mm-hmm.
That's my argument always for it. Well, but I hear your side of it.
I totally hear April's side of it, because even now, if you go for medical marijuana, which we all have, like, our name is in a database somewhere. So the regulation is just, like, it is like keeping tabs.
Yeah, but, you know, that's all covered by that's all covered by HIPAA, the Health Information Privacy Act. But I get that whole thing where it's that fear of, you know, name on a list and are people going to know what I'm doing. But I guess that's that weird thing where
I don't think it's about that. I think it's more about same thing how – you have government subsidies. Like, it's going to get so big, and it's going to drive – the price is going to – you know, it's not going to be as worth as much.
Where we pay twice as much for a bag of sugar as any other country in the world. Yeah.
Exactly. And then, you know, we'll have to pay a lot of taxes. And, I mean, I'm totally down for paying taxes. It's just about what – you know, like Washington, how expensive – how everybody's trying to get their hand on a little piece of it. And then finally it's – $90 for 2 grams.
Yeah, it's very rough, but you know, it's early on. We in California, thankfully, we didn't have to go through the price surging like Washington did, but we certainly had our growing pains of coming into medical marijuana here. I know you probably remember a point in time where there was a weed dispensary on every other fucking corner you went by.
And then they closed like half of them in LA. It was weird.
Yeah, that was Prop D that went through that closed most of those down, which was, in my opinion, great. I didn't want one on every corner. It was too much, and it was driving quality down. It was because everyone had to produce. Every shop needed flowers, so everyone's just trying to grow flowers, and just the quality was starting for California was actually starting to not be as good as some other states.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, I think now after Prop D, California's back to being one of the best growing states that we have in these 50.
Oh, it'll always
in these 50, ladies and gentlemen. What do you? Oh, you want a little bit of wine over there? Sorry.
Yeah.
Gotta pass the wine around.
So the last episode, we were talking about what was that weed app that's like weed Tinder.
Hi there.
And it's where you can like link up with people in other states and other places, kind of like Tinder that are smokers.
Yeah,
and such.
You can tell people whether you like edibles, whether you like vaping, whether you like smoking, whether you're a lazy stoner, whether you're a talkative stoner, whether you're a really high energy stoner. And it's interesting because a lot also like Tinder, it's one of those you can use it for what you want to, or do you want just a casual thing? Are you looking for something serious?
Or I'm in Illinois and I'm looking for some
weed. I'm looking for some. But that is where Apple apparently seems to have stepped in. Unconfirmed, I don't know.
Since the last episode, Apple has said that they were going to ban all cannabis-related apps from the App Store, and then since then they've kind of backtracked on that.
They got
over 10,000 emails from people.
Wow.
Well, here's the thing.
And that's
good
for stoners.
I
was surprised. I sent this article to April as soon as I saw it, and I was trying to fact check it. I was trying to see if it was real. I still am not 100% sure because I just have no faith in journalistic integrity anymore in anything that I read on the internet. And I was trying to fact check it, and it was amazing because before I'd even confirmed if it was real or not, April was going, I guess I got to get a freaking Android now. All right, And I was surprised because I was wondering if it could really be that fast that someone would be like, I'm just not going to use you then.
Yeah.
And it was – I don't think Apple would have ever predicted that – because let's be honest. I've always said I don't even know why Apple runs commercials for the new iPhone. Just put out a tweet, tell people it's out. They're gonna go fucking buy it. They know all the specs about it. They love it. They want it. They're gonna go buy it.
They have a budget and for marketing, so they have to juice it.
But yeah, they do have to use it.
It seemed like such an out of bounds move for them to make, which is why I kept fact checking it, because it seems so out of bounds for Apple to make a move like this, because it is so out of touch with their user base.
I think that just it's good because now it gives them a huge idea of what percentage actually give a fuck in that respect.
What if it was a litmus test for Apple? What if they were like, you know how Tom or the guy for Facebook will like stream things that are like really sad to see if your post gets sad? Like he was doing these tests through Facebook to see how much Facebook influences users. What I'm saying is, what if Apple's like, okay, we're going to like put out an article. We want to see what a percentage of our people like cannabis. So we're going to take the highest used app or just like and just take them away and see what the response is.
Apple, listen, that's not completely out of bounds because Apple is I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but about Apple, yeah, why not? Let's conspiracy theory. I said for a long time the reason why Samsung put out a phone watch is because they heard Apple might.
Totally.
And I think Apple told Samsung, hey, we're thinking about putting out a phone watch. And Samsung's like, well, we'll do it first. And Apple went, great, let's see how you fuck this up. And then we'll make it right. And they're really – it's something that Apple – they're very smart because they never need to do anything first. They don't obsess about doing anything first. They obsess about doing it better and bigger and with more bells and whistles on it. And – this is one of those ideas where that's not way off base that I think that someone there would be like, you know, I don't – some corporate guy was like, you know, I don't know how I feel about marijuana, because I think that there are absolutely corporations who try and sway public vote by corporate policy, which is a terrible thing to do. But, you know, terrible people exist. So why not? They'll go for it and, you know – come around to what actually happened. A lot of people respond that they don't like it, and this guy goes, oh, okay, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we were just checking. Okay. Yeah, we were just checking.
No, but there was another.
All right. It'll hurt our business if we actually do this. Okay. Because at the end of the day, it is always going to be about the almighty dollar.
There's another app that is the one that triggered it. Not the Hi There one. It's called Mass Roots.
No, what's that one?
And that says it's a semi-anonymous social networking app for cannabis lovers worldwide.
Wow.
That is the vaguest. That is
totally.
That makes it sound like, that makes it sound dirty. Mm-hmm. That makes it sound really gross.
It makes it sound
gross.
Like NAMBLA.
It does. It makes it sound like NAMBLA and Butthash all rolled into one. Oh. It's just not.
So now what they said that they are still banning those apps in states that it's illegal. So if you're in,
which I get, I understand that, but here's the thing about that is that some people are traveling to these mm-hmm. states from states where it is legal, and those people, shouldn't they be allowed some kind of access to their medication? Isn't there an argument? And now, here's the thing. If it's on my phone and I fly to a state where it's not legal, they can't just zap it off my phone. At least I don't know. I don't think that they can just zap it or lock it off my phone while I'm
it actually says
visiting there.
You can only download the geo-restricted app if they live in one of the 23 states that have legalized marijuana.
Okay. So you can – and once it's downloaded, it's on your phone and they can't – they won't pull it off. I wonder if you downloaded it before this decision that they made. Is there any word about that or do we not know?
I don't know. It says a social network. They're doing hashtag Team Green about for Apple's policy.
Yeah.
On blocking
you
apps.
Know, it was it's a weird choice. I don't know why Apple would choose to make a strike at weed. It's a weird corporate policy to kind of take. Here's the thing. It's not the popular policy to take because the trend is definitely leaning much more towards what's the word I'm looking for? Reform.
Mm-hmm.
As far as all this goes, so fucking crazy. Fuck Apple. I have an Android. I'm recording on an Apple. They're probably going to delete this podcast before we're done because they heard me say fuck Apple. Oh no.
Well, there was an article. I don't know if we ever brought it up, but I had wanted to talk about it, that it was pro-marijuana tweets are huge, like bigger than the anti-marijuana tweets, by so many. It's they did research in 2014 to 15 times as many pro-tweets as anti-pot tweets.
Yeah, well,
wow.
I think it's because people are finally starting to recognize, at least I hope, I really do hope that people are starting to recognize when you're reading and listening to sensationalist writing and that's what most of the negative campaigns I listen to, like the one that you were showing us about Time that we have on our lineup here,
mm-hmm.
the first line of it, they say cannabinoids hijack brain cells. Now, here's the thing. Whether that is actually factually true or not, which it's not.
We have receptor sites for cannabinoids.
Well, here's the thing. But it doesn't matter. You're using a target word, hijack, mm-hmm. which is meant to inflict an emotion, fear, angst, anxiety, nervousness,
level
a
red.
Distrust. it's this whole, you know, it's lack, as I talked about earlier, it's an extreme amount of lack of journalistic integrity that exists today. It's the fact that in the internet age, what matters are clicks. And if you need someone to click, you need to have a headline that grabs people in 5 seconds. And what better way of doing that is here's a list of 10 things that, you know, will help you live your life better. But you better make sure you read number 7. Like that, of right. course, someone has to – there's people who have to fucking click on that. And that seems to be – what the anti-marijuana stuff, it's a lot of clickbait type of writing where they're looking to elicit a response, whether factually right. true or not. What I want you to do is distrust marijuana. Well, you like people who hijack things? No? Well, you must hate marijuana then, because marijuana hijacks things.
It's definitely not the best way to put things.
It's reefer madness.
It's
reefer madness all over it. I always go back to what was it? Do you remember Manti Te'o?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
Do you remember Manti Te'o? The middle Notre linebacker Dame. For San Diego when he was at Notre Dame, when he supposedly got catfished by a girl who then claimed that she died and then claimed she didn't die and then wound up being a dude that he knew in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
So all of this stuff. Now, here's the thing. His whole senior year that everyone was following the story about this guy who had a girlfriend who was dying of cancer and then she died of cancer the same day that his grandmother died. Or the day before, or the day after, because that story never even came out cleanly. And then goes on to the national championship and then finds out that she's still alive and then finds out that she's a he. And here's the crazy thing. If when you heard she died, you as a journalist had picked up a phone and been like, you know, I'm going to call her college. Boop, 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 boop. Hey, what classes was she taking? What was she majoring in? Oh, you don't have the student there? That's weird. Boop, 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 boop. Hey, state where she was born. Can I get a birth certificate for this person? I'm just trying to find some records and get like some information on them. No birth certificate. Weird. just the about 40 minutes of real good phone calling could have broke the story
much earlier.
Much earlier. But this habitual lack of journalistic integrity that exists now that is willing to write a word like hijack into what is supposed to be an informative article. And if you're going to tell me that that word wasn't meant to be used,
I know, but it's
I'm going to
totally
say you're full of
besides
it.
Besides that, you, too.
Yeah, obviously the report is negative. If you're using words like hijack, I don't need to read it because I'm going, well, what you've done is you've given me an opinion. You haven't given me facts. Right. And as a reporter, you're supposed to give me the facts without any judgment.
And bias.
Give give me the facts. Let me make a choice. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't exist anymore. I mean, here's the thing. Even ProPot articles that I read, you know, now here's the thing. Some of them have been proven right. I remember I told you when I first heard about Rick Simpson honey oil, I'm like, you're full of it. It's not snake oil. It's not, you can't take one thing to cure everything that ails you. And then it's kind of like, I've had a lot of people tell me that they take one thing that cures everything that ails, and then it's Rick Simpson honey oil. Mm-hmm. So I'm seeing that some of that is true, but you know, both sides do sensationalism, but that's kind of the problem is that we've gotten to this point, I guess, of over-sensationalizing everything.
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 I just think it was so funny that they called it skunk.
Yeah, well, can you read the opening sentence? It's so funny.
Yeah, please.
The opening sentence, the one about the hijacking?
Oh, yeah. Well, read the whole first paragraph because it was just so good.
One in four new cases of psychotic disorders could be directly linked to the use of high-potency, skunk-like, air quotes, cannabis. A new study has found researchers from King's College in London found smokers of super-strength cannabis, colloquially known as skunk, were three times as likely to develop symptoms of a psychosis than those who didn't use the drug, the BBC reports. And this is a Time article. That risk increases to five times as high if the user smokes skunk on a daily basis. I just love how they just keep calling it skunk. High potency marijuana. I mean,
it's the thing, though.
They're just not used to that good shit in the UK. But
I think that's really what it is.
They don't call it the proper name. It's skunk. It's like, can we call it marijuana can we call it what it really is? Cannabis? Dude, just skunk.
Yeah, it's everything about it is trying to elicit a negative response from you. It's like Nancy Grace, you know, when she goes like, well, here's the man shoving a pipe into his baby infant daughter's mouth. What do you think of that there? What do you think of that? Here he is just shoving that pipe into her mouth, her little infant mouth. And you go, yeah. And I'm sure I could find you a video of someone shoving a beer can into their infant's mouth. What that is bad parenting. That's not a result. That person would do that with a heroin needle. Were they a heroin addict? They're a bad parent is what they are. And bad parents exist. And if you want to outlaw bad parenting, I am so for that. Because there's so many shitty kids that are, you know, just
products.
Oh, just terrible, terrible upbringing and mouthing off. And oh, gosh, every person who's ever heckled you at a comedy show is probably someone with a shitty parent. Yeah. I'm just going to say that. I'm willing to say, if you who are listening to this have ever heckled someone at a comedy show, you probably, your parents were just not very
they
nice
just, they
it.
Did not hug you.
Yeah.
They did not hug you once.
Or they hugged you too much,
you
which is also
is?
Something. Well, no, but it could be either
yeah,
or.
Yeah, I could see that.
I've had the over-hugging, which can really, that can really fuck them up. Oh, God.
You know what happened was the one that we talking about, the psychotic disorder time one, it wasn't the one that said the hijack. It was the one about the munchies.
Oh, that was the one about the munchies. That's right. That's right.
And it said, besides making a bongo drum sound inexplicably magical and enhancing a person's ability to talk nonsense for extended periods of time, generations of cannabis smokers will recognize the munchies as one of the drug's most reliable side effects.
Which, by the way, I am proud of how much nonsense it's allowed to let me yammer out of my mouth. Like, if this is a negative side effect, well, then damn it, sign me up. I'm all for it. I love being able to talk this nonsense because I'm stoned.
And then it said, now scientists have shown that the insatiable urge to eat after smoking is caused by cannabinoids hijacking brain cells that normally suppress appetite.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with it speeding up your metabolism. That has absolutely nothing to do with it, and neither does science, and neither does, you know, that's right up there with just the earth being flat as far as dumb fucking theories go. That's just bad. It's not as, God, I hate that. That was bad.
It used an analogy, it's like pressing a car's brakes and accelerating instead. So it's like switching the brain's chemistry to make, you know, when you should be full, you feel hungry.
I feel like the doctor who did these tests is one of those doctors who's that female doctor on the radio who's not really a doctor?
Dr. Laura?
Dr. Laura. Is this a Dr. Laura type of doctor where she's
from
like
the Guardian?
Wait, is Dr. Laura? Wait, isn't it Dr. Phil who isn't it?
No, Dr. Phil is a doctor. Dr. Laura is not a doctor. Okay. Yeah, Dr.
All
Laura.
All I know is that
Dr. Laura's lying to folks. She ain't no doctor.
I get fucking hungry, especially. But that other thing, back to the time thing, they were saying that it's, you know, hash wasn't causing that kind of psychosis. It was the skunk. So I just, my opinion is, I think that it's England, and England is used to really, you know, low grade hash. And now,
yeah, they are. When I was in England, you couldn't get flowers. You could, if you were lucky, you could get some butt hash. But the butt hash that I did find reeked of melted plastic and just terrible. Well, I mean, it also reeked a little bit of butt because it was up someone's butt because it's butt hash.
Yeah. Should we explain that to people? Melanie, is that the first you've heard of butt hash?
Yes, it is the first.
I feel like
for those of you who,
if I play a clip of it, will it be able to hear?
I mean, certainly you could. We could see. Yeah, you can do it. You go ahead and hit play. We'll listen to it.
We've got Jorge Cervantes talking about butt hash. Culero.
The reason they call it culero is because
it comes from the culo.
From Morocco. People swallow this. A normal guy like me can swallow about a kilo, 100 of these things. Keep it in their body. After that, you pass the border. And after you pass the border, you poop out a kilo of culero. And that's why they call it culero. Or butt hash. Just unwrap this culero and you'll see why it's such great hash. This stuff is sought after all around the Mediterranean because the reason it's number one hash is you can only bring a kilo across and you're risking your ass every time. You want the best hash there is. Let's open this baby up.
Have you? It comes wrapped up in like about 15 layers of really, 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 really tightly wound up saran wrap. And
it still smells,
in Hong Kong, they called them bullets because it was the size of your thumb. Exactly. It was about what you wanted it to be. And, you know, it's very pure. It's just mashed up plant. Is what it is.
What I think is funny is this guy just pretty much tried to sell us that he had the best in the Mediterranean coming through his butt.
Yeah, no, he did. He was like, this stuff that comes from a Moroccan man's ass is the best hash that you can get. Yeah. That was basically gist of what he was saying. Yeah, you're absolutely dead on.
And I like how he said only a kilo. You can only get a kilo.
It's too bad you can only shove about 100 of these up your ass, because, God, I'd love to put more up there.
I don't know if you don't know, but a kilo is 2.2
Once again, the gist of what he was saying is he wished he could have more of that in his ass, right, is kind of what he was saying.
But that... But that only a kilo... Only a kilo?
Only.
Only... A kilo is a lot.
I believe I've heard rappers refer to that as a guap before.
No, that's a milliliter, isn't it?
No, wine
is a milliliter.
Wine comes in liters usually.
A kilo is a half liter. A kilo is 2.2 pounds.
Okay.
So if you're thinking of like, like a pound of, an ounce of hash is probably about this big.
Right.
So a pound of hash is probably about this.
For those of you who can't see that, that's about the difference of a golf ball to a cinder block.
Yeah.
It's big. It's a very big difference.
Well, I mean, I'm gonna go with like a baseball to like a football.
Okay. Yeah. That's maybe a little bit more
and
fair.
Probably even like if a baseball was flat. I don't know. Not a full, because a whole baseball would probably be like 3 ounces, maybe a quarter pound.
Yeah, I could say that seems about right. That definitely seems about right.
You know, when 2 pounds of something, I don't care what food it is in your body, you are totally feeling it the whole time
in
your body. And
this
person has to be traveling across a border, feeling that
pressure
all through.
One of my good friends, a headliner I go on the road with, he did a food challenge here in LA at Fuku Burger, the Sumo Challenge, which is a 32-ounce burger.
Ew.
32-ounce patty. That's without everything else that's on top of it. Wait,
that's enough for all of us to share.
Yeah. And he, here's the thing. They told him that the fastest that had ever been done there was like 12 minutes something. He's like, I'm going to destroy it. And he did. He did it in 10 minutes, 13 seconds. Like a animal just went through it. But like here's the thing. First of all, super brave, because it was $40 if you didn't finish it in 20 minutes. It was free if you finish it in under 20 minutes. He was broke. He didn't have a dollar to his name when he went in there. If he didn't finish, he was like doing the most awkward dine and dash of all time, because he would have almost finished it, which meant he would have been just as full. And he kind of forgot that we were going on the road the next day. And we were getting on a plane, got on a plane, and we took off. He went to the bathroom, and 5 minutes before landing, he came back. And I still pity the people in the last five rows of that airplane. It was a disaster zone. It was a war zone, because here's the thing. When we first got back from the restaurant, he immediately went to the bathroom. But that was just his body. Like, we have to clear out everything in here to make room to process what you just gave us.
He had a kilo of meat.
Yeah, he had a kilo of meat in his body. And then the next day, it was hell. You can't have that much of something in your body and not be in hell.
32 ounces
pre-cooked.
That's more than a kilo.
32 ounces pre-cooked. Oh, is that more than? Yeah, no. Yeah, it's about.
It's about 2 ounces.
It's about 2 ounces. That's not 2 ounces.
16 is 16. 32, 2 pounds.
Yeah, about 2 pounds. He had about 2 pounds.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just got a lesson in the metric system.
Congratulations, metric conversion. Us rugby players, we know meters because we have to deal in meters. Mm-hmm. Our rugby field is 100 meters. Long, which is way longer than 100 yards by like 20 yards. Yep. Yeah, darn right. And our field's wider too, 66 meters wide.
And play doesn't stop. There's no whistle unless there's an injury. So if somebody slams you on your back,
get up.
Get up. I remember the first time I got slammed really good. And by the way, I thought I was taller than I was. And the only reason why I played rugby is because I wanted to go and try out for lacrosse, and I showed up to the wrong field. And I had done warm-ups, and then they busted out with these balls and these cones, and they're like, okay, we're going to teach the form tackle. And I was like, where, what, huh? And there was, I was just like, you know what? I'm already here. I don't want to get up. I'm like, sorry, wrong field. So I might as well do it. And I did. And I actually nailed that form tackle. So I was like, I'm in the right place. Mm-hmm. However, when I took my first amazing form tackle, it was against this girl from Ohio State. And she was such a great athlete. And her shoulder went into my abs.
Oh.
And my feet, I felt them both lift at the same time.
Did you make it slow motion?
Totally did. That noise. And I remember laying there for a second, and that noise came out of me, and she was up and gone so quickly to chase the ball. And I remember thinking, like, all of my pride is what got me up. Nothing physically got me up. I didn't have anything in my body. It was just pure pride. Get up. Like, you can't get beaten this bad this early.
I made captain my second year because we just got a new coach, and he hated me. And our second practice, we were going over form tackle, and he decided to have me come up and assist him in a drill. And I go in kind of – he was like 6'5". He used to play Super League. And I'm a shorter guy, so I'm kind of like, I'm just going to get low and throw a shoulder into him, and I'll be fine. And he hit me 2 feet beneath the ground. He drilled me so hard, it felt like he hit my mother. And – I remember I couldn't breathe. It hurt so much, but my brain just went, Alex, you need to get up or he's going to think you're a bitch.
Yeah.
And I just popped up like one of those fucking clown dolls. They just, oh, I'm up. And 2 weeks later, he's like, okay, maybe you're not a whiny bitch. And he named me captain, and I remained captain for the rest of the year. We talked a surprising amount about rugby today.
This is a fun one.
I was just thinking if marijuana does indeed help pain, then maybe rugby should help endorse it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have to have you back to talk more about the marijuana and sports, because it's a subject we've talked about a few times, and it's always an interesting topic. So,
Do you have anything coming up?
Yeah, what do you got coming up?
I have Flappers on the 26th, which is next week on Thursday. Ari Shaffir is headlining. Nice. We've got a really good lineup. Yeah.
It's the main room, Yoohoo.
I love that room.
I love the
Yoohoo. Yeah. For those of you who don't know the Flappers Burbank Yoohoo Room, it can only seat about 50, but it becomes this raucous little box of laughter. It can be so much – with a good crowd, I've had more fun in there than almost any other room. It can be a lot – it can be a real good time.
Yeah, because you don't have to have a huge crowd for it to still feel like a good show.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's just an intimate room.
Yeah, there's always laughter going on in there.
A lot of magic happens in there.
What about you, April? What you got going on?
I've just been running around like a crazy person. I'm at Crispy soon, but I forget. It's maybe in like 2 weeks, but just at April Fool.
March 1st, I think I might be there too.
I think I am, yeah.
Well, you'll be able to see the Cannalinguists together on a show.
At Cannalinguists and at Honeypot Bear 420.
Well, geez, I'm Alex Mandler. I just got back from Reno. I know we're going to be going back and forth in a couple months. Thank you, Reno, for coming out. We had 3 sellout shows, which was really, awesome. And yeah, I'm just going to be in LA touring around. I don't have anything specific. I know I'm going to be headlining at the Federal Bar at the end of March, but that's about all I really got to promote. I got nothing else going on that I can really talk about. So,
Crab diving.
Thank you for having us. We love you as always. And our wonderful guest, and even our guest who only said a couple things, but was still a lot of fun to have here. April, you say goodbye to the people. You said hello. You say goodbye this time.
Peace. Go light it up.